Here we go. It is SBD Weekly, episode 56, unless I'm completely mistaken again. It is 21st of October, 2019. At least I got the year right. So, so let me put that one over there. So we did miss 1 week because I was in a dev kitchen. We're going to talk about and touch that slightly during the discussion because Ilya was there as well. So I basically said, let's not record. So I do apologize on that, even though we try to always record in every single week, regardless. But this time we do have a visitor in the room who's Ilya. Ilya has been actually a visitor in the call before as well, but it's been a while. I think it's almost a year or something like that. So
apparently.
It feels like yesterday. Do I need to do it again? No.
I mean, you guys seen each other in Redmond's, right? So
that's true. Yeah, we did. But Ilya, do you want to do a quick introduction to who you are, and then let's have a discussion on different topics?
So hello again, all. For the people that already saw me, for the new people, welcome. I'm Elio from Belgium, and I work for Valo. That's me. That's in a nutshell.
What do you do? What are you doing in Valo? What is your kind of a job?
Oh, what do I do?
That's solution. Today's discussion. Come on.
You want to already disclose that? Okay.
What I do in.
I'm a fan. What I do? Kind of chit chat. Come on, we jump on the topic.
Oh, sorry, hiccup. What do I do at Valo is I'm the solution architect for modern Valo. So we build an intranet on top of SharePoint. So everything related to the intranet, which is built on modern, that's what me and my team are doing.
But I guess so. I don't know everything inside out of what you guys build, but on the outside, it seems like it's more than just intranet, right? Because there is the mobile app. I don't know if you guys already have any experience in Teams.
Yeah.
Right. So it's already way more than just intranet. People who are on premises would know intranet.
How do you define an intranet? Yeah, exactly.
Well, collaboration experience.
Yeah.
But we also see it as different products as well. So gotcha. We have a couple of products. So an intranet is just one of the products. It's intranet, but it comes with a couple of other things.
There are some small hiccup. There was another audio hiccup, so let's see how this goes. But hopefully, crossing fingers. Don't talk too fast.
I will try to do my best to not do that. But there are some, they are working on the road next to mine. So it could be that it's related to that.
Yeah. Connectivity goes up and down. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, we wanted to actually talk about two things today. We wanted to touch first last week's Dev Kitchen, which is the excuse why we didn't record. We could have obviously recorded, but it would have get really messy because the Dev Kitchen happened on Monday to Wednesday. We can't really deep dive on the content of it, but we can kind of touch the high-level feeling and the coverage. I'm kind of curious on Ilya's input on that one as well. But then Ilya actually has a really nice conference session, which he keeps on presenting, and we wanted to steal the thunder from that session, which is around what did I learn of building a product on top of the SharePoint framework. So that's actually a really interesting discussion topic as well. So what are the kind of top five learnings and things to consider? But let's, if you don't mind, let's actually start with the Dev Kitchen. Waldeck, you were not there. I was disappointed.
I wasn't there. No.
You couldn't. Yeah, so there are.
I mean, I am not building a product on SPFX, right? So, sure. And there can be only that many of us who build products on SPFX. So,
but it wasn't around SPFX only, and really about SPFX. So, the just to clarify also, the Dev Kitchen was really first of all, what is a Dev Kitchen? So, Dev Kitchens, we organize Dev Kitchens as Microsoft for getting feedback around not yet released features and functionalities. So, we invite customers and partners to a location, and then we have hands-on labs, material and presentations and coverage and discussions with the people around what we're thinking on building and then evaluating their input related on that. Rather than coming up with something and releasing it and saying, here it is, go have fun. And then people are like, no, I don't understand. It's good to actually have the Dev Kitchen to let's say further clarify expectations, what's missing, getting the feedback and all of that.
Yeah, and I guess that being PM or being in that role is more important than ever that you validate your assumption. You have a theory, you build something, but then at the end of the day, you're not building that for yourself. You're building that for a community at large. And before releasing anything, you want to be sure that that's the thing that people actually need.
Yeah, that is matching the expectations. People are willing to accept that. This was like our fifth dev kitchen, actually. So we did have a first dev kitchen like 5 months before releasing or even telling that SharePoint Framework is coming, which is kind of cool. So there was a group of people who knew that SharePoint Framework is coming before the spring event of 2016. I think that, yeah. Time flies when you're having fun, by the way. And then we had a dev kitchen with the extensions.
There was one in Brussels. In Brussels.
Was the second. Yeah, that the process was the second. Then we had a dev kitchen around the extensions in Redmond again. And then we had a dev kitchen around the Teams integration. And now this one was then a new thing. Those who have been following up on what's happening in the build, for example, we announced and released a Fluid framework, and we demonstrated some of the capabilities, which is kind of it's a real-time collaboration platform. So basically, you can co-auth multiple things, not just documents, other things as well, which is kind of really cool. And there can be a backend services connecting to the flow, and there's some interesting scenarios behind of that. We demonstrated that in build this spring. I think it was May, end of May, somewhere like that, whenever the build was. And then we haven't actually talked about it too much. And now this was really around the dev kitchen on what does it mean that the Fluid is coming? What does it mean for SharePoint Framework? And how do these things work together? And how do we align the story? And we talked about also the Office add-ins being built with SharePoint Framework, which is something which we demoed on the spring as well. And then multiple other kind of technical improvements on SharePoint Framework side as well. So Ilya, if you think about, obviously, you know what we talked about outside of the Dev Kitchen. So let's not deep dive on the Dev Kitchen topic, but there's kind of an areas on what's super interesting you as a technical architect for Valo.
For me, it was very, very interesting to see what is coming and to already think about how we can leverage what we saw. But the coolest thing I think is that you can actually play or test out the functionality. And it's fun to play with alpha code, and then you can already see what your guys are building. It's not that you can build a real application yet with it because it's still alpha, but you can already see where the future is going. So that makes it really fun. And having a discussion around it.
Yeah, definitely. That's highly helpful. And then also last week, we talked about quite a few other upcoming features for SharePoint Framework as well, which we haven't disclosed yet openly. So we're not going to actually talk about them in this call either. I'm not allowed to expose, hey, there's a new feature in SP Dev Weekly. And that's not the smartest thing to do 2 weeks before Ignite.
But it would be awesome, right? So are you trying to say that people or devs who work with SPFX should really pay close attention to announcements at Ignite?
Yes, we'll definitely have additional details on a lot of the stuff which we covered in Dev Kitchen. It doesn't mean that stuff is getting ready within 2 weeks, so definitely not. So that's not how the engineering works. But there will be a lot of announcements related on SharePoint Framework, related on the Fluid status, related on Office add-ins status. There's a session, I think it's Luca and Pat this time around as well. Luca Bandinelli and Pat Miller walking around the latest of SharePoint Framework and those announcements. Hopefully that title has been changed. There was some weird title on it in the Ignite scheduler, which is, I don't know why that happens, but somebody didn't check what was submitted. Not my job, so not me.
Anyway.
Okay, so that's quickly on the Dev Kitchen. Let's not actually dwell on that too much because, like I said, it is under NDA. But it was a really great experience. Good to see people as well dropping by and being. I think for the attendees, I know this when I used to be a normal attendee on these things. One of the key values is to have 2 to 3 days off and being able to build something outside of the normal time zones and outside of the normal work, which is really cool. So you actually have a time to concentrate on something new, which is super rare nowadays in the really fast moving business.
Well, and also if I think back to the one and only that I attended myself, I found it really interesting to actually be in the room with engineers who build the code and that you can hear them explain it, the vision behind it, idea behind it, and whenever you want to understand, you can just ask them. So it's invaluable from that point of view to get not only to look at the APIs and context, the manuals and the labs, but also hear it from somebody who built it, like the vision idea behind, like what it's for, what problem is it supposed to solve? Because that makes it so much easier to wrap your head around something new, as opposed to just look at the code, the samples, and like, it's okay.
The tutorial or whatever, you don't understand
exactly
why it exists.
Yes.
What is the long-term vision about those things? Yeah, that is a fair
exactly
point. Absolutely.
Another thing, what is really fun about it is that it's not only MVP related. So you see a lot more people that you don't see during any other of these conferences or meetups or whatever. And for them, it's also weird because I got a response from one guy. Hey, you know each and every one of these.
I've been around for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but he came from Denmark, and
yep,
he wasn't an MVP, and he wasn't used to that, so...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you're not part of the... Well, obviously, MVPs know each other pretty closely, because we then hang on the different or the similar areas, so...
I mean, that used to be more the case in the past. Nowadays, the group is so big that there are people who are MVP whom I've never seen or met, right? And that's even the whole trick with MVP. It's so broad, right? You can get an MVP for writing a book, for doing a local user group in a place to which I've never been, and as such, I would never know about you, right? And
true.
I mean, likewise, so.
That is true. Now, coming back on the different topic we have promised to actually talk about, so let's not actually deep dive on the Dev Kitchen. That was a great experience, but the people who are listening to this is like, yeah, stop talking about that one. I wasn't there. We didn't have any details.
I mean, the key point being there, if you get a chance to attend one, you should.
Oh, absolutely.
Period.
So I was just checking the I'm actually almost showing them on my screen. I was just checking the averages on the feedback forms, and right now between 1 and 10, we are scoring at 9.38. So pretty decent.
That reminds me that I still have to fill in my feedback form.
Oh,
thank you.
There we go. Should we stop now that you'll go and fill it up, and then we'll come back?
Great, internet connection is breaking. Sorry.
Yes, but yeah, everybody seemed to love the thing, and like you said, Valdek, it is really about having that connectivity and then get to know people behind of the scenes and having more insights on the decisions behind of the design, rather than just doing tutorials. Makes perfect sense, and obviously it's super valuable for us as well, because there are certain always capabilities and functionalities which we're like testing. This feels cool, but what are the things what people could actually do with this one, and then you show it for 50 attendees or 60 attendees, and they come up with a super amazing stuff. So.
And you are like, that is interesting. And at that point, you actually know that the engineers behind like didn't really thought about this case, and they're like, do we really want to allow that? And if so, like, at what cost?
Yeah, that is so true as well. Absolutely. But that's one of the key benefits out of for all of this process for us as well. But now, like promised, Ilya, you're doing a conference sessions around your learnings on as building a product on top of SharePoint framework and modern experiences. And you represent the Valo intranet. It is an intranet in a box product, have existed for a while. I'm well connected on the people who are working there. To be fair, Valo has been recruiting a lot of MVPs recently, and seem to be growing that in the future as well.
That was actually not on purpose, so it's organic. I don't know how it's.
But what it would be your kind of a top five items or things which you cover in your session? What are the key learnings around SharePoint framework? What are the things what works and what doesn't work? Now I'm asking like 27 questions.
Stop talking.
But if we start from positive things as an example, what are the positive things around SharePoint framework and the modern SharePoint?
Positive things is that it's first of all really easy to get you started with SharePoint framework development. It isn't that in the past it was really slow with the WSP. Well, with the WSP, what you had to do with the building and IIS reset and then waiting for 2 minutes until your VM was up and running and whatever, that's something you don't have anymore. It's like in 2 minutes, you already have an application running.
Yeah,
of course, you still need to code it, but you already have a web part. So that's, I think, the biggest key takeaway of SharePoint Framework and modern development these days.
Yeah. Sure, the scaffolding takes a while, but 2 minutes.
Not on a Mac. Sorry.
My project is created in less than 30 seconds. So.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Well, it's getting faster and faster in Windows as well. So there has been a lot of optimization over there. And sure, you get stuff visible and functioning quite fast. And by the way, Ilya has been also creating and responsible of leading the work around the reusable controls on the SPFX side. So using those controls, you actually get a fully functioning stuff, just a matter of track and dropping control on place, and that's it. And then we're good to go. So. Yeah. Which is,
and we highly leverage these things as well in Valo. So,
which is actually quite safe then for other people to use it as well, right? Because you actually are quite widely used platform. So, and those controls are supported by the community. But if the more and more partners are using them, then it's quite safe to actually use them, even though there are open source solutions, which is always the classic discussion as well. I think we're in a transition of people accepting the fact that open source is fine. It's fine. So that was one of the learnings. What else? What's the other positive things around SharePoint Framework? Obviously, the tooling is cool. It's modern. It's now up to date, or it's getting always refreshed.
Yeah, for me, building a product is cool because I'm working with the latest and greatest stuff. Like, I can use SharePoint Framework. I can use Azure services. I can connect them together. Me as a developer, that's always what I wanted to do before when I was a consultant. The client said, oh, I want to have this kind of project. And then it was like, oh, yeah, it's on-prem or it's this or that, working with old technology. Now you just go with everything what is new. For me, that's amazing. That makes my job challenging and really awesome.
Yeah. But now, as a developer, that's obviously a good part. What about the negative parts? So what is the things which bother you on the SP?
Let me first say it's not really a negative thing. It's more an hard thing that you need to know that it's there. Like in the past with WSPs and on-prem, you knew exactly what was coming in 1 month or 3 years ahead. And because you were working with these releases or these updates, these days everything is built on online. And you cannot control any updates anymore. So speed is actually the biggest issue for us because you need to check what is coming. And each and every tenant is a little bit different. Also with first release or targeted release, you need to test out these things because things can change and it can impact. Like for instance, a really simple example is how web parts can be modified these days. In the past, you saw the hover panel when you hovered over it. Nowadays, when you click on the web part, you see the hover panel. Yeah. But these kind of things, for us, we have visual UI tests. And we see that during the visual UI test, when a page gets created and the web part gets added on it, and there it failed. All of a sudden, all our web parts couldn't be edited. And it was just because we did the click event and not the hover event and not the click event. So we had to change that.
But so does that mean that you guys don't need to spend a lot of time like chasing or fixing your UI test because of the fast pace of change in the cloud?
Yes and no. It's we play with the playing ground what SharePoint gives us. So we're not manipulating the DOM.
So
we only need to have that canvas, what I say. So as long as we have a page, we have the zones where we can drop our web parts. Everything is fine. And so yes, some things happen, but it's not so very often that things happen.
There's two things actually on what you were saying, which we want to actually jump in. First one is that how do you test and what is the recommendations? What is the process for you to test these things? And the second thing what you mentioned, related on pace of change, but you said that you do not actually do DOM manipulation. You do you kind of play with the given rules which are given to you. And what's the is it giving you then massive headache or pain? Because we're seeing different options. Obviously, we're seeing people who do even in modern SharePoint, because you can do DOM manipulation, they go crazy, and then that has an implications. But how has it impacted on Valo's designs and experiences?
It's a tough one because when something new comes out, you want to play nicely together with SharePoint, and that's also for us, because we want to have a good name with Microsoft as well, because then you can also promote our tools. It's sometimes very hard because all of a sudden you create a UI and then the next day there's a new control popping up, like for instance the one that you see right now on the pages with the most useful information, or what is it, or recent information. That's something. It's there, and you so you cannot take it away. And you need to guide your end users in order to say, okay, this is what you need to do. But the problem is, if it's there, and you cannot take it away, it conflicts a bit with the design that we applied or with the other web parts on the page. Yeah. So that's probably the hardest thing. On the speed, what you can do is for sure follow the roadmap of Microsoft 365 and follow the roadmap of Azure, so that you can keep yourself up to date, and also check out the PMP calls because a lot of information is shared there as well.
That's one of the, let's say, how would I put it, one of the hard things, because we're also getting actually feedback that there's too important information shared within the PMP community calls, which is like, but stuff is evolving so fast that it's easier to actually have those kind of info moments in every single week rather than having a really small blog post which is telling something or whatever. So, but it is hard balance of finding how do we explain the changes as well. And to be fair, there's quite often even community finds something new and then we need to jump on it on the calls or some feature from somewhere a random team is enabling and, ooh, I haven't seen that. Oh, that's interesting. Because it is such a massive platform, to be fair. And there's a, even though there's obviously controls internally in Microsoft to release stuff, but it's still huge. Now, we do have 2 minutes before we need to stop on a hard stop. But quickly asking, what is the quick, in a 1 minute summary, how do you test your stuff? You're doing visual testing?
Based on the testing, so we have, if we push everything to our environments, what we do is we have our manual testers. So they will test the products, how it works and so on. And then we have our visual UI test, which is automated. So basically, whenever we roll out a feature, there's first a manual tester, which is going to run it, do it a couple of times or does it a week. From the moment it sees that the thing is stable, the feature is stable, then it's going to create an automated UI test from it. And then that gets added to the, we use robot framework for that. And then it gets added over there. And then each day it automatically gets tested. But manual testing is really a key thing for us as well. Because most of the time, as a developer, you think, okay, step A, B, C. A manual tester is, instead of going like a developer from A to B to C, he will do C, A, B. And sometimes things fail. And these are the critical things, because that's also the end users, how they are going to use our product.
And that's a hard thing to automate as well, because it's as there's definitely massive value for testers and manual testers and test people to think through the scenarios. And sure, you want to automate as much as possible, but it's a really hard thing to, to manipulate the click through tests in a random order, because
Also there are so many ways you can, for example, add a web part to the page. There is vertical column or section, there is this, there is that, there is responsive, there is tablet, there is phone, there is iOS, there is Android. And you need to take all of that into account, right?
Absolutely. It's really difficult. And now, really interesting discussion. We could have actually would have loved to have a longer discussion. We need to get you back on many of those topics, definitely within a year or so, or sooner.
Well, my internet connection is better.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it wasn't too bad, so all good, all good. But I think we need to start from a timing perspective as well. Any last words from your side? What are you planning to do this week from a developer perspective? Anything interesting?
I'm having a client meeting in Düsseldorf later this week. And yeah, I'm still catching up on a lot of emails, Teams messages, and so on as I was away. And yeah. I'm also still recovering from a SharePoint Saturday in Belgium, which I was organizing.
That was clearly a big success. 400 people?
Yeah, 400 people
nice.
In total. Which
Very
is,
nice.
I think the biggest one that we ever had. So. Yeah.
Very nice.
I think Munich had like 750 2 years ago or something, if I remember this correctly.
Really? 700?
Yeah, it's like, wow. But obviously,
yeah, but Belgium is really small. So,
well, sure. From a perspective of the country, even the population side, anything interesting from your side, Waldeck? So,
a lot of them, like none of them related to dev. I am nowadays more on the product management side of things.
Chief product officer or whatever.
Yes, exactly. So even on top of that, but I mean, in company of our size, you obviously do many things, right? And I am combining that with a PM role, thinking about features, what do we want to add? How do we validate ideas that we have? How do we bring them to users, verify that basically, like building is really the easy part. Everything before building, choosing the right thing to build,
or
and
knowing.
Then everything okay. after that, like shipping, supporting, yeah. that is the hard part. Building is really the easy part, if you like.
It is the classic learning, which we talked about quite a few times. So obviously the pre-thing before you implement something, and then getting the stuff ready isn't actually when the things are stopped. It's when you start driving adoption for the feature.
Yes.
Right? If you're a product, if you're an ISV or a SaaS provider or whatever, it's the success isn't shipping. The success is actually driving usage or getting whatever is your objective on the usage on it.
Exactly.
But good. I think that's it. I will jump to another meeting as well. So thank you, Elio. Thank you, Waldeck.
Thank you, Vesa.
We have a separate week and a visitor already locked, which is good.
Yes.
So we'll have a visitor next week as well. But we'll be definitely in touch. Cheers, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Bye.
We'll jump to the articles right after this one. So there's a separate recording which we stitch together. So good. Like mentioned on the first section of the video, I'm going to do the articles all by myself because of the timing. So Waldeck wasn't available during daytime, and we didn't want to book too much time from Elio as well. But first of all, this week on the SharePoint Saturday side of the house, we do have a Microsoft 365 Sydney Saturday coming up. And that's already kind of a renamed as a Microsoft 365 Sydney meeting. We're using the same platform. And there's quite a few sponsors available here and quite a few sessions on this week in Sydney. Cameron Trier there, John Liu is over there. So a few different tracks and nice set of speakers and MVP speakers and non-MVP speakers in over there. So please, if you're around on that side of the globe, please go and check it out. Absolutely. Now let's actually move on to different articles. So it's been now 2 weeks since we last time covered some articles, but we can actually see that there's quite a lot of, let's say, events going on. So there's different Microsoft 365 developer boot camps, there's conferences, there's Ignite coming. Because there's a small reduction of the actual articles which are getting published, which is as expected. It is a busy time of the year. But if we jump in here, and this is from Velin within like 10 days ago or so, how to create a SharePoint Linkit-like user profile directory, and really nice blog post related on how to have this kind of a finder, company finder capabilities available, which is also showing additional attributes. So not just the attributes, for example, of Microsoft Graph, but also attributes which are coming from the user profile behind of the user. So the SharePoint has to own user profile service, and you're able to add additional properties and attributes on the user entry over there, and then you're able to use search query APIs, and then you're able to use user profile APIs to actually manipulate and get that information for a particular user. So really useful functionality. Obviously, you need to get the data do the user profile, and there's multiple different ways to do that, but really cool and a clean demo and nice set of kind of API calls, how to make all of this happening. So really great stuff from Veli. Now, the next article is from Sergey, quite nice actually, really cool article related on how to create a hub site structure visualization without any coding. And that seems to be like, what can you actually make all of this happening without any coding? But it is actually taking advantage of the Power BI, Power BI web part and Power BI, and then using Flow to get that information. So really the key here is the Mikael Svensson post related on how to use the search to detect the hub sites and which are the sites are associated to the hub site, and getting then that information to a SharePoint list, and then exposing the SharePoint list as a Power BI dashboard or Power BI web part within a portal. So really cool setup without any code. You have a nice overview of the architecture of your tenant. This one in here, using Microsoft Graph extensions with SharePoint framework, a really nice story as well from HS, and really is around the fact that you're able to add additional extensions and properties and attributes to the Microsoft Graph objects and Graph resources, and then using that information in the web part, or that information when you're presenting some data. So just as well, kind of a related on the user profile information, you could, which the Velin had, you could actually decorate the user object in the graph with this additional set of information, and then expose that through your web part. So definitely a cool setup from HS as well. So have a look on that one. Now, this is from Anoop and more around Power Apps Gallery driven by managed metadata. And this is basically combining the managed metadata service, which we currently have in SharePoint. We're looking into having that potentially in an Office 365 scale as the metadata model across the Office 365, which is a cool thing as well. More on that and those directions in the Ignite timeframe within a few weeks. But in here, this is really around the fact that how do we use that metadata data in your Power Apps implementation to limit, as an example, or dynamically present the information related on what's in the taxonomy store. Really cool stuff and walking through how to get access that information and how we should approach that information and how do we present the relevant information in Power Apps side of the house. This one is really nice, also from Rabia Williams. This is really around the simplicity of using Microsoft Graph Toolkit together with SharePoint Framework. So Microsoft Graph Toolkit had a set of controls. We're going to have a look on those in a second, which you can really, really, really easily take advantage on the SharePoint Framework implementation. So in this case, as an example, let me zoom in. Rabia has implemented this application customizer, which has my events or the upcoming events functionality. And this one here is a Graph Toolkit control. So you don't actually have to implement that. The only thing what you implement, have to implement basically the panel popping up on the page. So her implementation is basically to have that My Events button in the header section, or both of you probably want to put that somewhere else rather than just above the navigation. But again, it's a conceptual demo on how easy it is to integrate stuff. And then when you click that one, it shows that panel. And in the panel, we are actually using the control. The few points to understand here is that when you're using the Graph Toolkit, you need to grant the permissions which the control are requesting. So as an example, in this case, you need to get access on the user's agenda or events inside of the Exchange. And you need to grant those permissions for SharePoint Framework in general or the solution which you're using. But quickly looking into the implementation, it is seriously as simple as this one. That's the button which we saw in the application customizer in header section. Here we have a panel. This is Office UI Fabric panel. And inside of the panel, we have the agenda control. And by default, it is showing the events from the /me/calendar/events, or in this case, especially, we're using the me calendar events list over there, and then it just renders itself automatically available. So really cool, just minimal set of code, and you're able to implement cool stuff together with Microsoft, the data inside of the Microsoft Graph. And if we have a look on this one, so just to briefly kind of a check what's available in the Microsoft Graph Toolkit. So here's an agenda control. There's the person control, obviously. Person control is really for showing the persona-based information. There's people control, so we're able to present the people information in different ways. There's people picker control based on the data, which is Azure in Azure AD. And a person card control, which renders the persona-based render of the user. So reusable controls, and as long as you have granted the graph-based permissions, like in this case, and the permissions which we need to for that particular information, things will just magically work. So it will just automatically connect to the underlying connections in graph and then present the information, like in the case of agenda as an example. So really, really cool implementation. This one is around from Nandeep around implementing CI/CD with Office 365 CLI for SPFX library components. So really around the automation again. If you're using SharePoint Framework library components, how do we automate that CI/CD setup in and VSO or into DevOps, Azure DevOps? So how do we make that things happen? And walking through the different setups and configurations and the implications of those things. So setting up the build pipeline and how things should be configured so you can actually have that automatic continuous integration and continuous deployment capabilities from the Azure DevOps for SPFX solutions. And here, as the final thing from Marsh, is around creating reports in Power BI using power of Microsoft Flow, Microsoft Graph, and SharePoint. So quite nice setup on using app-only permissions, so using app ID, app secret, and then granting the DNS permission for those, then using a flow to get access on the relevant information, for example, based on users, and then using a Power BI, again, to present that information using Power BI web part or dashboard in the SharePoint, in the Microsoft 365 level. So really nice setup and showing the simplicity of actually using flow as the engine, even with the app-only app ID and app secret, and then you can schedule this to be executed in a certain time frame. For example, once a day, you'll get the relevant data, and then the question is more on what kind of data we have and how do we present that on a day-to-day basis, or what kind of information we want to present in a Power BI. But quite easily doable, quite powerful functionality without really that much code. To be fair, somebody might say that all of this flow thingy, sure, it's not code, but you need to actually understand quite a lot of different settings and how do we parse things and how to create things. But definitely easier than creating an actual application and making all of this happen because you're already inside of the context of Office 365. But that's it for the, all of the articles this time. And let me actually close this one as well. So we did record this article section before the discussion with Elio and Waltek. So hopefully we didn't overlap too much. But for this week, I'm basically closing up. It is episode 56. And like I said, it was only me for the article section side of the house. Ignite is closing in. So we're finalizing our plans for Ignite and doing polishing and making decisions related on final demos. Obviously, there's a different set of demos available, which we're going to show, making sure that everything is working and we're able to release stuff. So really, really cool stuff coming into Ignite in the dev side or in the non-dev side of the SharePoint and Microsoft Teams and Flow and Power Apps. So it's going to be, again, a really awesome conference. If you will be there, you can actually still register unless I'm completely mistaken. We do have a pre-day also for Office 365, Microsoft 365 development platform. We're going to talk about identity, Microsoft Graph, SharePoint framework, Teams extensibility, and adaptive cards. So pretty cool setup for a one day. And we do have a nice end-to-end, let's say, a reference solution which we're going to use during that day as well. So hopefully you are able to join us. That is on, unless I'm mistaken, it is 3rd of, I need to actually double check this from the calendar, it is 3rd of November is the pre-day, and then Ignite starts on the 4th of November on the Monday. But hopefully we'll see you there. We will definitely do another SPD weekly before the Ignite, so that's going to be episode 57. But that's it for this one. Thank you, Elio, for joining, and thank you, Waldeck, also for, even though you had a time off and family break, you were able to actually spend some time with us on the evening to do the initial discussion. But thank you everybody for watching, and please give us feedback. What do you need to see? What do you want to see? If something isn't missing or something should be covered, or if you have ideas on who would be a great visitor, please let us know so we're able to address that request. But that's it. Bye-bye. See you later.